Hi everyone, and welcome back to the channel. In this episode, I'm with me Tom Gilp. Tom has been part of the tech industry for about as long as it has existed, and has designed a lot of the process and methodologies that we are still using today. Tom's an honorary fellow of the British Computer Society, and has written a lot of different books, both within the tech industry and outside of it. And in today's podcast, we're discussing one of his latest about sustainability and how to define clear goals. So I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. I absolutely did. Hi, Tom.
Yeah, hi.
Thanks for having the time to come over here. So you were speaking today about which topic?
Okay, so it really is about how to clarify critical ideas. Mm. So one set of critical ideas I'm going to tackle are the major principles, they're called, but they really are quality attributes of AI. Things like transparency. Mm. Okay, what is exactly transparency? And the second thing I'm going to look at quantification and clarification of are the United Nations Sustainability Development Goals,
okay,
that Nikolai Astrup referred to in his talk. He even had a little badge on him. Yeah, I actually sent him a book I wrote called Sustainability Principles.
So you prepared him before his talk?
Yeah, well, no, I sent him, after his talk, I sent him a digital copy of my book. So I wrote a whole little booklet on it. A friend of mine was very interested in it this summer, and he said, would you want to write a book, Tom? Write a book on sustainability goals. It's a very important thing. So but what I did was I took them, take number one, simple, no poverty is the actual thing. Now, that's all very nice, and we definitely don't want too much poverty hanging around. What exactly does no mean, and when are we going to arrive at no, for whom, and what kind of poverty are we talking about? Is it educational poverty, or food poverty, or money poverty?
It's quite a big topic.
Yeah, and my point is, I go into depth. I use almost 100 pages in the book to analyze why this is highly ambiguous. Nobody understands it the same way. Everybody nods and says it's a good thing, and everybody, including the minister, is going to go for it.
Yeah, of course.
But the danger is, since we don't really have a consensus of exactly what it means, and so everybody's sort of working on poverty here and innovation there and all these nice things, but I fear that since we're not agreeing to what we really mean, and we're not targeting things clearly, we will maybe use six times more time to actually get there. So we'll use 100 years instead of 15 years to actually get to the targets, because we're just mucking about, trying and failing, things like that. So my belief is, if we take the time and trouble to articulate our criteria, our multiple quality criteria for AI, for sustainability, and agree to those clear definitions, so we're all playing from the same music, we got exactly the same understanding, then we can move forward towards those laudable goals faster and more effectively. Right now, we are mucking about with management bullshit, as usual, okay, political bullshit. But the bullshit is because everybody loves it, and they smile, and they nod, and they want to get on with something. But they're not being cost-effective in going for what we might actually agree to if we sat down.
Whatever's not measured is usually not achieved.
Something like that.
Right.
It's none of that. It begins with, it's not even understood. See? So and how do you achieve things that there's no common understanding of? Okay. So I believe in quantification, and I believe in more. I believe in actually structuring things with more information, but quantification is a simple way of putting it. Quantification moves things in the directions of unambiguously clear. You know, you cannot misunderstand 42. Okay? And so it's a great tool for making sure that there is a clear definition, and then people can agree or disagree with that clear definition, or adjust it until we make a compromise and we all agree that the answer is 43. Something like that. But then you cannot get agreement, and you cannot do teamwork, even global teamwork, without extremely clear objectives or requirements. And the world isn't there yet. The vast majority of intelligent people, like the ones at this conference, don't actually understand how to, say, quantify AI goals or sustainability goals. But they're all talking about it today.
Absolutely. How do you interject between sustainability goals like poverty and AI? What's the link between them?
First they are long, in this case, they're both global, long-term aspirations of humanity, big problems. Mm. Okay. Now, by the way, I apply these same methods on small projects for corporations too. It doesn't matter. It scales up and it scales down to anything. The point is people haven't, at universities like the one we're in, turns out people don't actually learn to clarify objectives, especially qualitative objectives. It's an old problem. You've probably heard of balanced scorecard. What was the problem? People were learning a lot about the financials and not about the non-financials. But what is it that drives a company like, say, Tesla or Apple? It's the non-financials, the qualities of the system, the safety of the Tesla, to take an example, and the user-friendliness of the Apple product. That's what makes them rich and famous.
Yeah, okay? Absolutely.
And if you just wave your arms and say, we're going to have a user-friendly or we're going to have a safe system, everybody will nod and say, that's a good idea, nothing much will happen. But the moment you start quantifying it and giving it as targets to groups and saying, we're judging you on whether you're meeting those targets, then things will tend to happen. Okay? So what is in common is we need to learn the art of clarification of laudable high-level objectives for important things. And one tactic, not the only one, is to quantify. And we see it time and time again. We got 10 goals in a row. It's all words. There's not one single number there. That's the case with the UN goals, and that's the case with the AI goals from the. There's a paper for the Obama White House, which academics like MIT, USC, UCLA, and IBM are working on, and it's in my slides and paper, and it's just full of bullshit words. Everybody. If I asked everybody here to say, give me your interpretation, they'd all 600 people come up with different interpretations. Now, in other words, if they've agreed to their misunderstanding, but they haven't agreed to anybody else's misunderstanding, therefore they cannot work together as a team. They cannot seriously discuss all the technological options. So one of the In AI, the option on the table is all these different universities have their own little AI systems. And the question is, which one is good for all of these principles? We haven't even defined those principles. They call them principles, but I call them qualities, right? Okay. Like transparency. So you can't actually make a judgment of how good or bad their systems are compared to each other. They're just, there's one from UCLA, and there's one from MIT, and there's one from IBM called Watson, and but you can't really judge them or evaluate them because you don't know what their multidimensional quality properties are. You don't know how transparent their decision-making is, to give a specific example.
And are you referring here to black box algorithms and their transparency, or
yes,
in general?
Yes. Okay. Just simple yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And when you say master those
but what
qualities.
Do we mean by transparency?
Exactly.
So, for example, one kind of transparency is I can find out if I want to what decision was made. Another is people are always informed about how the decision was made, whether they ask or not, and at a level they can understand. So just radically different kinds of transparency.
Also, how do you apply this goal to the technology which are evolved? Like, should, for example, medical information that are done by AI be transparent to you? And to what level? Is that the type of goals which you want
clearly
to
clearly and absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so.
But should this be so in all of the different fields, and should that be written down, how transparent?
Yeah, I think it's pretty wide agreement that we always need transparency. We need to know how it is made, and the more critical, life critical it is, whether it's you're losing your job or losing your health, but that's then the more we need transparency. People need the option of understanding how was this decision made, so that they can legally appeal it, and decide not to abide by it, like the medical suggestion or whatever it is. Yeah. So generally we need transparency, but we need to. There are many different classes of transparency for many different purposes or domains, such as medical, legal, etc. And we need to define exactly what we want in each of those domains. Okay, so medical is one, but then heart medical is maybe different from skeletal medical transparency. And so we need to go into, so one of the things I do in defining these things, I not only quantify, but I pick out usually about four or five dimensions that are interesting, like which professional domain. Which subdomain, which type of people who are affected, what kind of stakeholders do you have, what are the outcomes? Mm. And I call them scale parameters. I have a technical term. I'll be showing it in my talk today.
Cool.
But what it does, it allows
you... You also include this in your book?
Absolutely. Mm. So, and my right now the books are absolutely free, and I'm going to give a link to my sustainability planning book.
What's the name of the book?
Sustainability Planning. Mm. There's a link in my slides, and my slides are on the hashtag #AimToNorth Twitter and my LinkedIn. Mm. So anybody can go and get the slides and get the book for free right now and take a look at what we're doing. There's also, in addition to my book on sustainability, I have a very much larger presentation about the AI goals, which I also have a link to for free download. So anybody can get the detail on this from, all you need to do is go to hashtag #AimToNorth, find my reference and follow the links.
That's perfect. Okay, Tom, just a quick question there again, because we have not talked a bit about AI, but which type of goals would you set for example, poverty?
Now, actually, I went into great depth on that in my book. So there's like 50 pages of answer there. And you're not going to get that orally in 2 minutes. But I do answer in depth. I have a sample of that in my talk. I think let me parse it out a little bit. First, it says no poverty. Now, the word no is a level.
It is.
It sort of hints at zero. But notice it doesn't, but it all depends on how you define poverty. So first thing we need to do is say, are there different classes of poverty or only one? Clearly there are different classes of poverty. Mm. Okay, there's poverty levels where people don't have access to education. They don't have access to health. These are different. Don't have access to money. Don't have access to food. Okay, so I take a look at, let's say, all the interesting dimensions where it's really a different kind of poverty, and the solutions to the poverty are very different because it's a different, educational poverty is different from food poverty.
Okay. It absolutely is, but if you have, or if you don't have economical poverty, can't you just solve all of the rest of the poverty issues?
No, because not everything is solved with money. Mm. It might be sheer accessibility in a village in India. It's just so far away. You can. My son just had a problem in India. It was in an Indian village, and he lost his credit card. Mm. And it was a really painful story of actually trying to get any money whatsoever. Because he was out in the middle of nowhere. He had to get to 6 hours away to Chennai, to town, and even that was painful. So mere money, he had money somewhere in his bank account, but he didn't really have access to it at all, and therefore he was limited in what he could do. Mm. So in other words, money doesn't solve all the problems. I mean, sometimes just having like an aid agency, which is really there with the health workers, is far more important than having some money, but no aid workers in sight. Mm. Okay, so you really have to work with the, is it a health poverty problem? Is it an educational poverty problem? Is it a monetary poverty problem? The point is you have to look at the different dimensions of poverty and say, what dimensions are we concerned with or anybody concerned with? And you have to make a list of them. And then you have to take them one by one and say, what's the highest priority dimension? Let's just say it was health poverty. Mm. Otherwise, people die before they can get educated. Okay?
Yeah. Reasonable.
So, yeah. So I say, okay, what do we mean by health poverty? Mm. Does it mean don't have access to health care? Does it mean you don't have access to health information, which you might get from an app if you had it? Mm. See? And what are the consequences? I mean, people just slowly dying or are really dying or spreading diseases. And we actually have to make a list of all these different consequences of the lack of it. And using this information of the different kinds of poverty, you come up with sets of these different conditions that enable you to prioritize and say, number one thing, if we could do one thing this year, forget 2030, then it would be health poverty in outlying villages for children. Mm. Okay, so what you have is a little subset of the whole poverty thing, but it's a subset that somebody has agreed, like United Nations or Bill Gates Foundation, Bill Melinda Gates Foundation, that we need to prioritize, otherwise these kids will be dead before we can give them education. Okay.
Absolutely. And at which level of government or foundation do you foresee these decisions are made? Like, on European or EU level, or all the way down to municipalities?
Yeah, it's everywhere.
Everywhere.
In other words, governments should use this way of thinking, in my opinion, to think about their problems, and they're very bad at that. Let's go down to an aid organization, church Christian Aid. Actually, in the Norwegian Christian Aid, we've used our methods for several years, very successfully, to do actually in I think about 35 different countries. Okay, so I know it works at the aid level. And then right down to single projects, like, just getting emergency aid to, say, a flood area or something like that. So in other words, everything you plan, people have objectives, like, okay, we're going to save these people, there's a flood. You could just rush out there with your tents and food, but you arrive and you discover they don't need tents and they don't need food. They needed warm blankets, you see? Yeah. So everything has to be planned at some, even if it's just one day of planning or 1 hour of planning, people have to lay a plan. That is, they have to have clear ideas of what the objective is, and that means they also have to have concurrently clear ideas of the strategy or solution for reaching the objective. And you need to spend one day of smart planning. And what people do is they spend 6 months planning and they don't do it smart. In other words, they start off with bullshit and they spend years with it. And they don't even realize they're in the middle of the bullshit, and that's why it's not working. And they go out there and they fail and they say, okay, we better do it again next year.
Yep.
Okay. They could have spent one day to get it right the next month. Now they spend a whole year learning it doesn't work. We have masses of this in Norway, in our government institutions, health and social security, of learning the hard way over years with massive investments what doesn't work. And I've analyzed this in detail for Norway and a few other countries, England being another one, and say it's just dumb planning. They haven't spent the first day of any project. I think you need to say, what are the top 10 most critical objectives? And I think you need to quantify and clarify them on the first day. And I'm going to show examples of this in my talk. It's in the books. I mean, I know how to do it. And you need to start off with a really clear understanding of what are we trying to achieve. And people are not starting off with that understanding. They're starting off with bullshit. They continue with bullshit. And they don't even realize how bad it is, because they're not, I would say it's part of the problem is the academic training at universities. I was talking about balanced scorecard and I didn't quite get there. You see, they realized that people, managers, weren't learning the non-financials, the qualities of, say, the service, the organization, and the products. And then they published this balanced scorecard thing in Harvard Business Review. And what they did was they allowed the idea that something like, for example, usability, as a let's say on an Apple product, that it was just a bullshit word with no quantification. And the financial side, everything's quantified. So guess what wins? Financials.
Yep.
I love it. Boeing chief, safety is our first priority.
Quite a lofty goal.
Yeah, especially on our MAX 737 airliners, unless it is in conflict with earning money and beating Airbus to the, you see. So actually, I've worked a lot for Boeing. I know the culture. It is a safety culture, but there's always a war between those who want to get the airplane out and earn money and those who want to build a good airplane within the company. It's exactly what's happening with the MAX, very clear. So there are lots of cultures where, if you don't have really, really clear, measurable ideas, then if you like, the money objective will win every time because it's so concrete. So we have to quantify those things that are more valuable than money, like health and understanding.
But how do we prioritize between the
How do we goals? Prioritize?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, I've written about that in some of my books in about 70 pages, so you're going to get the short answer. I give a hint.
The seven-page answer.
Okay. Now, I believe you need to prioritize your values. But to prioritize your values, there's a first step, and that is to clarify all these dimensions I mentioned. and then clarify the number of how good you want to be for these dimensions, how good the value is going to be,
and what's
how
maybe
safe.
Achievable.
Well, again, that which is not achievable is a silly thing to have as a serious goal. Mm. Okay, so I'm there, but no, the point is you need to have clarified your goals, and then a clarified goal can be more easily prioritized than a bullshit goal. Mm. And we're trying to prioritize bullshit goals, and you can't actually do it. You can declare this is more important than that, but nobody understands what it is. So it's a meaningless prioritization. So what we prioritize has to be crystal clear, measurable, trackable. Mm. And people aren't there yet. They don't even realize that's a precondition for serious prioritization. I also do something called dynamic prioritization. That is the error that balanced scorecard makes is it sets weights to prioritize. And these are subjective things done by unknown people for unknown reasons, which is really stupid. And I talk about that in my books. Prioritization means you try to achieve the most critical things with the remaining resources, like the remaining time to deadline in a project, remaining budget of a product. So I believe that you need to do things in an agile step-by-step manner. And after every step, you say, how close am I to my goals? Which goals have I not yet achieved? Which resources do I have left? I might only have money, but not time. It means I have to now find strategies that use money, not time, to achieve my remaining goals. Mm. That's called dynamic design to cost or dynamic prioritization. That's something they do not teach at universities, but in fact, it's very good human common sense. This is what we human beings do to get through life.
Should we, at least.
But you need to put this into something very much more systematic, which I do. And I describe in excruciating detail. I have another book called Value Planning, which is only 1,000 pages, but it was my attempt to write down everything I knew. And I have about a 70-page chapter on prioritization, which explains all these mechanisms.
Would you believe that this is something which humans should do, or should we use some type of tools, like an AI?
Well, I do both. So humans need to do it above all. However, we have a little tool. Anybody can go and peek at it. It's called Valplan, VALPLAN.net. Now, that's a tool which does automatic dynamic prioritization based on values and costs.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's an artificial intelligence tool. But the main thing is not the tool. The main thing is that human beings understand that to prioritize, I have to have really clear agreed values. Mm. I have to really understand the economics of my resources in the short term and long term. Okay? And only by understanding those multiple factors, we're talking minimum of like 12 factors for almost any problem, about, say, 8 qualities and 4 resources. Only by understanding the factors can I compute my current priority. In other words, what should I do next step? Okay? But today we just have this idea, well, somebody will put some weights on it. And this is extremely primitive, dangerous, static idea, not good for complex, large-scale systems that we're talking about with United Nations and artificial intelligence.
Mm. And you believe, like, regular people should use a similar approach, like a balanced scorecard for their life?
We need to really balance the scorecard. So that means that the non-financials need to be as strong and quantified as the financials. That's step one. Mm. Okay. And number two, we got to get away from this big bang waterfall way of doing things, which the balanced scorecard actually is, and say that, no, we have to constantly reprioritize step by step as we see how far we're getting towards our goals and what resources we have left, because that determines what you should attack and how you should attack it, because you have to attack with the resources you have left, not with those you dreamt about at the start of the project.
Absolutely.
And dynamic prioritization is the big idea.
Okay, Tom, if we would summarize this episode in just one or two sentences to people.
Okay, your critical values for AI or sustainable development need to be quantified and clarified before, on the first day of your project, before you proceed with anything else. Anything else is wasting your time and destroying the quality of life for human beings on the planet.
That's quite powerful and concise.
And I'm dead serious, and I'm a very angry old man.
Thanks a lot for your talk, Tom.
A pleasure.